You're listening to KFSK Public Radio in Petersburg. This is the coronavirus update show for Wednesday, March 18th, 2020. I'm Joe Vicnicki for the local news department, joined by a few folks here in the radio station and one or more online, I believe. And this is for the latest updates on what the community is doing to prepare for coronavirus, different announcements for closures and anything like that. So feel free to call in with your questions or comments, 772-3808. We do have someone on the phone already. We're going to start with him. I believe this is Jim Floyd from Hammer and Weekon on the phone. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Can you hear me okay?
We got you. Go ahead. Why don't you start? What's the latest from your standpoint?
Okay, so I just need to get, I want to do a little update. So one of the things with the governor's latest information sent out, we have restricted some self-service items, so that would include coffees, donuts, soup, so the hot soup that we have out there, we had to pull that because he's basically mandated no self-service. So as far as the supply chain, first of all, I want to make sure everybody understands that as far as logistics, AML is, already has plans in place, and we're not having any issues there. Yesterday, it was just a matter of just missing the tide. But we do have that, our load in today. So what the issue is coming in the supply chain as far as the manufacturers not able to keep up with the demand. So the one thing that's really important to understand is, one, I want to say thank you to the community because we're not currently being wiped like they are down the 48, so I really appreciate that. Because unlike them, it takes 10 days for us to get back into stock after our supplies are depleted. So we may not have your favorite scent or flavor of an item, because what they're doing is they're concentrating on the highest demand. So, for example, Lysol. The only Lysol that's being made right now is lemon-scented. So that means that we won't have the other varieties, but we'll still have Lysol. And so, for example, in toilet paper, we may not have every brand, and in some cases, they're substituting. So the only, we do have a few items on the shelf that we are having to restrict just because we are being limited. So in turn, we're trying to be as fair as we can and limit those items so that more people are actually get to take advantage of it. And again, I just want to say thank you that people are being reasonable and understanding. And as long as we maintain that, I can pretty well guarantee that we're not going to have any disruption to the business.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for the update, Jim. We're going to let you go and take other calls and move around the horn here as well. We do have Sandy Dixon with the Petersburg Borough here joining us in studio for the latest from the borough's perspective. Announcement this morning on kind of limiting public access to all borough offices, or limited access anyway. I'm taking that as essentially closed to the public, but if there are, there might be cases when the public needs to be let in from time to time for serious things. Am I reading that right? Or
you are. Most borough doors will be locked or closed to the public. The phone numbers will be posted on the borough website, information for emails, phone calls. You can do certain things online. We're going to try to accommodate the public as best we can, because we understand that people still have lives to live and bills to pay and, you know, permits to get and things like that, inspections to be had. We will accommodate the best we can. Please feel free to call. We're just asking that you stay away. Sorry, we're having a little technical difficulty here.
Yep.
So we are discouraging the public from actually trying to enter the buildings, but again, trying to serve the best we can. We will still have 911 calls and emergency responses with fire and police. There won't be any interruption there. Power and light are still going to do their jobs. The borough employees are still going to continue to work and do the best they can to stay busy and help with the public.
Okay. All right. So phone first is the big message there.
Correct.
And I think that's the way most offices are going in terms of turn down that for a moment. There we go. Let's get Aaron a pair of headphones, too, or sliding microphones. No. Okay. It sounds like most offices around Petersburg, whether private or public, are starting to go in this direction and limiting public access in some manner. So I guess that's a good general note to the listening public is call first or do your business online if you can. instead of in person. Erica Klutpainter from the school district, you're nodding your head. What's the latest from the school district?
Well, as you said, we are we've already started kind of doing the screening that the hospital was doing. We started that a few days ago, just in our district office. We're fortunate right now because we are still on a spring break, which is an extended spring break next week, as well. So we have very limited staff already in the district. If people are wanting information from us or having questions or concerns, most people are emailing or calling already, but those are things to do. Also, just for parents and families out there to please stay tuned to your school email, your bulletin list, also listening for updates and information coming through on the air here and on Facebook. But I do want to reiterate, we're starting to get a few more questions. So students, you are on spring break next week. That means you are on spring break. That means you are not expected to be having schoolwork. Anything that comes after that is nothing that would be needing to be made up. So I do want to just reassure and remind people of that. We will have a plan in place. It will be coming out soon. We are working on it diligently daily as things do continue to change hourly. As far as what that plan will look like when things start back up again on March 30th. So just stay tuned. It's coming. Okay. That's for parents. So just to remember that. And then just one last reminder for those kids, because you are on spring break doesn't mean that it's spring break like normal spring break where we want you to all hang out and be in big groups. So please remember that you're out for the reason of staying away from other people. So just remember that. Okay.
Great. Thank you. Stay tuned. Social media, websites, this radio station, and other methods for further announcements on that.
Okay. Yeah. And that's also for staff out there who I'm starting to get a few more questions about that too. As recommendations continue to change and come in related to quarantining, whether it's sort of mandated quarantining or recommended quarantining, we are getting information to staff. We are not going to make people work in situations that they're uncomfortable, and we may be having some requirements for staff returning from trips. So, again, just stay tuned, stay calm. Information is coming. We're going to work through this together. So.
Okay. And I think we do have next door in Studio 2, Petersburg Medical Center employees. You guys and girls, can you hear me all right?
Yeah, can you?
We got you, Phil. Phil Hofstetter, you're on. What's the latest from the Petersburg Medical Center standpoint?
Yeah, sure. Just a couple of things, and I have a Lori Miller in the room as well, and then Dr. Tosillo was. I think he was heading your way, but so a couple of updates. Just for clarification, our hotline number is 772-5788, and that is active, and a nurse will be on the other end. Of the line, that can answer any questions that community members may have. I'm going to ask Lori to clarify. There's been some questions about is PMC capable of screening or testing for the COVID-19, and I'm going to have Lori just clarify that process.
Thanks. Go ahead, Lori. This means is PMC able to take a swab and actually do the analysis here in Petersburg, I'm assuming, right?
Well, it's just I think there's clarification of what we can do, and I just want to just make sure that Lori just explains what are the steps and what are we doing.
Okay. Lori, you're up.
Thank you. So as of this moment, we do not have the ability to perform the tests to look for COVID-19 here in Petersburg. Very few commercial labs. Big ones like Quest and LabCorp have developed their own testing criteria and their own tests in-house and are able to run limited numbers. We are waiting and working with the vendors who are rushing to replicate this style of test and hopefully push test kits out. But at this point in time, the only thing we can do is collect a nasopharyngeal swab. So we're going to stick a swab all the way up your nose and twirl it around, and then put it in a liquid called universal transport media. And we can either send it to the state public health testing lab at the direction of the Department of Epidemiology, or we can send it to Quest. The turnaround times for Quest are running about a week now due to the demand and the fact that they only have two labs in the country capable of performing these tests. One is in California and one is on the East Coast somewhere. So when we say that we cannot perform the test here at PMC, I just want to be crystal clear on that. There's no way you can come in and 2 hours later know whether or not you have COVID. We have said that are screening people. When we say that, we mean that we are performing a temperature check and asking you a series of questions to determine how likely you might be to have symptoms or be infectious, or if we need to do a little more in-depth looking at you before we allow you into the hospital as a staff member to perform your duties. So when we say we're screening people, we are not swabbing, we are not testing, we are just simply asking questions and taking temperatures at this point in time.
Okay. Is there a chance that can change, though, for in the near future for a quicker turnaround on test results?
It all is dependent upon supply and demand. Quest is trying its hardest to ramp up its testing capability so the turnaround time is faster. The same thing with the state, but they have a limited number of test kits and limited capacity because of the type of machine that they're using. So they told us last week that the state has the capability of performing 80 tests a day, 40 at the Anchorage Public Health Lab and 40 at the Fairbanks, and that's it. So epidemiology is being extremely judicious in how they triage patients and decide who is going to get tested and in what order.
But so I'm hearing you, no plans for doing anything other than sending out swabs.
That is correct, because at this point in time, no vendors for machines that we have or machines that anybody has commercially in labs that aren't either research labs or huge labs like Quest and LabCorp, there are no kits to send out. They haven't been developed, and once they're developed, they still have to go through the FDA approval process.
Okay. So follow-up question, how many people in Petersburg have been swabbed and their samples sent out?
Yeah, so there have been two, just like we mentioned last time, and those are still pending.
Okay. All right. I'm getting a word from Dr. Mark Tosillo, who's here in the studio as well. Is that a different number already, or is it changing rapidly here?
Well, since I was number three, I can pretty much attest to the fact that we're there now.
All right. So
we are getting a lot of phone calls, and what we're trying to do is distance all of these screening procedures, ideally to over the phone and or, you know, at some point, almost like a drive-through like you're seeing in New York and trying to be replicated in California. This is going to be a same thing. It's a screening test. It's not that we're going to necessarily put a swab in your nose. We'd be looking at time frame, symptoms, travel history, other exposures to people who may have traveled. So again, there's a relatively finite list of criteria for when we are actually going to do that swab. And the reason for that is just what Lori said, is there's a very finite amount of capacity to run these things through. So if everybody that, you know, has a cough or a runny nose gets tested, it's going to be overwhelming for the testing facilities.
Okay. So a question to you and the medical center people. You've been tested. I imagine other people at medical center will be in the future, because they may be in close contact with people who could have been exposed. How are you going to deal with staffing issues going forward if this becomes an outbreak here?
Well, because mine was a non-respiratory symptom and I had travel to Florida and a couple of days in Seattle, I kind of met loose criteria for maybe kind of sorta. So I got sent home to yesterday and to see if that symptom continued on or was a one and done kind of thing, which luckily it was. But as you see, I'm wearing a simple surgical mask, which is not to protect me from other people. It's to protect other people from me, because just for the fact that I traveled and was in Seattle proper for 2 days, I am kind of self-isolating myself for at least 14 days. So that's my risk mitigation to other people. You know, so I don't get closer to people than I need to. I have my mask on when I'm not in my office. Phil and I are both in this same situation, and it's like we're seeing who can be the most creative and drink coffee and wear your mask at the same time. So
let's stay on that subject. We heard today a little bit of reporting nationwide about the virus, how long it can last on different surfaces, which sounds like it's a long time, a couple days at least, or a week. Maybe Aaron Michael, you could jump in on this topic.
It's still really tricky. They don't know how long it can last. They don't have definitive studies on how long it can last. Have you heard anything new?
No, all I know is if it's outside and there's ultraviolet light, that's a pretty good way not for it to be residual. But it depends on, you know, what it's in, whether it's in saliva, whether it's somebody touched something. So the sheer mass of where the virus is makes a difference. Temperature makes a difference. Drying out or not drying out makes a difference. So we don't really have a good sense of this virus yet.
So what are measures that are good self-isolating tips? So we've heard a lot about hand washing, of course, but if you think you've been exposed and want to keep the rest of your household away from that possibility, what can you do?
Okay, so my simple thing is, if you put your hand out and I put my hand out and fingers can't touch, we are at an acceptable level. That's essentially 6 feet. And we talked about the weight of the droplets falling off in that period. If you're acutely ill, if you're coughing, you're sneezing, things like that, then you should wear some kind of face protection. A scarf is as good as a surgical mask, but basically what you're doing is you're trying to limit that propulsion of anything out of your mouth to somebody else. Washing your hands, not sharing utensils, not sharing foods. Touching countertops and things like that gets a little more nebulous, but cleaning up after yourself with soap and water or, you know, whatever you would use on your countertops normally. And again, typical hygiene household cleaning items are going to take care of any viral load. So, I mean, do what you're supposed to do. As far as hygiene every given day, just be more cognizant of it, and, you know, it's going to take care of itself.
Okay.
And they also recommend maybe not sharing the same bedroom with somebody that is acutely ill, or the same bathroom if you can, if it's possible. Just like wiping down stuff using what you use at home, household bleach, water solution, Lysol wipes, Lysol spray, those kind of things.
And thinking about all those surfaces you come in contact that you might not be thinking about too, phones and laptops and screens and everything, TVs.
Everything
door handles, you touch on a daily basis.
Toilet handles, sink handles, all those things,
Okay. All right. We had a question. We don't have anybody from the U.S. Post Office here. Maybe they're listening and they want to call in, but a question about whether there's any limitation on office hours or access there to the public. We don't know that yet. We'll try to find that out. If you're a business in town and you want to spread the word, let us know about changes to your operations, and we'll let people know. Most businesses, or all businesses, are going to the takeout format 5 p.m. tonight by the governor's mandate. So that's a big change. Bars and restaurants and everything, and most others have also already switched to that. So, Sandy, from the borough's perspective, other changes to announce at this point?
Well, I'd just like to do a little better job than I did earlier, because we all know how I love to speak on the radio.
You're getting very good at it, though.
I don't know. My first attempt was pretty sad. But I would like to say thank you to all the businesses and the people in the community who are taking precautions. This is a real thing. We don't want to create panic. And I think if everyone does their part and does the social distancing, I think we'll do a good job of flattening that curve, as they're calling it, so we don't inundate the healthcare system. And if you feel sick, stay home. The borough website will have an update from the borough on there. That has been my problem, but I've been inundated with phone calls, emails, meetings, teleconferences, things like that. So I'm hoping to get that done today. Have a couple people at the borough that are willing to help update that page. I just need to write something up for them. We are going to put links on there to the school district, to KFSK, excuse me, to CDC, all the important links for people to get accurate information. And I guess I would suggest that as well. And so do your part. Don't go to shopping at 5 o'clock when everybody else is going shopping. Don't go to the post office at 5 o'clock or 4:30 and stand in line. Try to spread it out, go out throughout the day, try to eliminate that large group gathering. I do believe the president said 10 people. We at the fire station have limited it to 5 people, and then just try to maintain that 6-foot distance.
Okay, and I'll give those email addresses again. We heard from the general managers of Hammer and Weekon and Trading Union. You can email your orders to groceries@hammerandwecon.com or tudeliveries@tradingunion.com. Again, that's tudeliveries@tradingunion.com or groceries@hammerandwecon.com. I'm glad to give those over the phone if you want to call here at KFSK, and you can get your grocery orders in that way, and they will deliver to you, so you don't have to go to the store. We have a caller on line one. You have a question or comment?
Hi, this is Marlene Cushing, and I think we're all coming to the realization of how serious this is. Some of us are ahead of others on that process, and since a lot of these actions are voluntarily recommendations, we really need to concentrate on motivating people to comply with these measures, because doing things now is going to have such a more benefit than doing the same things in 2 weeks after it's spread around. There's a positive person in Ketchikan who hadn't traveled anywhere, didn't have contact with anybody who traveled anywhere. It's a pretty good indication that this virus is here and it's being spread, even if we don't know it yet. One thing I wanted to mention was that some people have had a banner made up, and they're trying to prop it up next to the airport, saying, "Welcome to Petersburg, and please self-isolate." They said they can't hang it up in the airport because Alaska Airlines can't do it unless they get permission from corporate headquarters. I think that's a great spot for borough leadership right now to step in, talk to Alaska Airlines, whether it has to be the Seattle office or wherever, and say, you know, we have an emergency disaster declaration already in Petersburg, and we're saying this sign needs to go up inside where everybody coming into town will see it. We need to hear a lot more about what's the local strategy for implementing these recommendations. And I just want to thank everybody for working so hard on this, for the people that are stepping up, for the people that are taking care of the children of the grocery store workers and the hospital workers and the police department workers. And we certainly need to pull together as a community, and I'm sure we will. Thank you.
Thanks for the call, Marlene. Just one thing you brought up, the Ketchikan case. I'm checking back on my notes here. The state believes that that is travel related as well. And I think that's what, Sandy, you were looking that up too, as Marlene was saying, that all six cases known to date in the state appear to be travel related, according to state officials.
Wow.
At this point.
Well, he put up a long narrative. The patient put up a long narrative on Facebook.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Thanks for the call. All right. Sounds like we might be getting a couple other calls. Aaron, you want to jump on before we get the next call going here?
Sure. I do have to leave soon because I have to get back to the clinic. But I did want to mention that just beyond bars and restaurants, they also mentioned facilities that are supposed to be closed to the public would include theaters, gyms, fitness centers, bowling alleys, and bingo halls. So just keep that in mind. There probably will not be bingo or things of that nature. We don't have a bowling alley anymore. But anything that's entertainment related that people group together also should be closed.
Okay. So. All right, thanks, Aaron. We'll keep going with the show with the rest who can stay. Caller on line three, do you have a question or a comment?
Yes, can you hear me?
We got you. Go ahead, you're on.
Hey, I was just wondering, I don't know how true this is. There's been, the person that was just speaking about the cases that are here. Apparently, they're from people who are flying down into infected zones and then coming right back here. And then all of a sudden we're getting infections in these places where these people came from there. Is there anything being considered to slow that down? Or, I mean, we're flying it in.
Good question. Who wants to tackle the travel guidelines issued by the state? Dr. Tosillo, do you got that one?
Sure. Or? So all discretionary travel is being discouraged. There is no law, guideline, recommendation that says you cannot travel for essential travel, there's no recommendation. When you come back from an endemic area, and at this point, Seattle is considered an endemic area, not Seattle Airport, Seattle. And I think we're going to see this gel out to the whole lower 48 soon. It's kind of the second tier of, you know, infectiousness behind China and Italy, or France now, I guess, too, that you are recommended to self-isolate yourself as possible for 14 days. If you can work from home, you work from home. You know, if we have people coming in from the lower 48, they're not coming into the hospital for 14 days. Like I said, I'm self-isolating and protecting because I've been out of the state and in Seattle within the last 14 days, and that's why I'm wearing the mask. But we have already started to institute a plan to kind of at least address this with people as they come in through the airport. I don't know that we've finalized it yet as the where, when, how, and who, but we want to make people aware. I think awareness in and of itself is important. Then the second tier is, you know, and I kind of call this the raindrop thing, where no single raindrop thinks it's responsible for the flood. Everybody needs to recognize that they are a risk to get it and to give it. So that recognition, along with the fact that this is not going away tomorrow, it's not going away next week, it's not going away next month, we have to kind of change the way we do business and plan on doing something that we can sustain for quite some time.
Okay.
Yeah, just listening.
Caller, hopefully that answered your question there.
All right, then, thank you.
Yeah, thanks a lot. Tom Abbott, KFSK station manager. Welcome to the conversation.
Sure, thank you. I just wanted to clarify something. I just got off the phone with Marlene, who was calling in a few minutes ago, to clarify that the individual in Ketchikan had traveled. He was in Oregon. He also traveled to Juneau recently, and he self-identified himself out on Facebook, and also he's been interviewed by reporters in Ketchikan. I know him as he's also serves on the board of directors for the radio station there. So I know that to be a fact. So we want to clarify that he did recently. He was in Oregon.
Okay. Thanks. Okay. Thanks for the call. Petersburg Medical Center, are you still with us in Studio 2?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Just a couple of things related to the travel. We just heard it from the state. I was on a call with the state, and because of the mild symptoms they were seeing with some of the travelers is one of the reasons why they're really kind of ramping up on the self-quarantine, a 14-day and stay at home, which is what Dr. Tosillo was referencing. So we are strengthening that policy internally as well, and making sure that we also follow some of those guidelines. But again, it's one of those things that's evolving on a rapid basis. So we're trying to make sure that even retroactively, people who have traveled, that we're making sure that they are either masked or self-quarantining for those same individuals. We are really discouraging employee travel. Again, it's personal, but at the same time, they need to know when they're leaving that most likely when they return, we're going to be asking them to self-quarantine for 14 days.
Okay. And another medical question, assuming you want to be prepared for riding out and getting the coronavirus, Dr. Tosillo, what are recommendations? Fluids, Pedialyte for being dehydrated, or what?
Something that really tastes disgusting. Okay. I mean, Gatorade's fine.
Yeah.
Water is fine. I mean, if there's one thing that I have seen, because I was sent home yesterday for my symptoms, is there's lots of people out on Sandy Beach, going on the trails, going on the beach, taking your dog out. All that stuff is good for mental health. It's good to get your lungs exercising. It's putting you in better shape to tolerate any illness you may incur in the future. And again, this is not going to go away in April or May or probably June or July. So the longer you're out exercising and making yourself a more sturdy host to the coronavirus, the better you're going to weather the storm. So prehabilitating yourself with the expectation that, you know, a good portion of the country is going to eventually get this illness makes your constitutional strength higher, and you're you're going to be a better sick person.
All right. Sandy Dixon, any other further notes?
So I was just going to say I was on a teleconference right before coming to the radio station with a bunch of managers from Southeast Alaska, and they all are suspecting that they have coronavirus in their community already, people walking around with very mild symptoms or thinking they just have the common cold. Again, like Dr. Tusillo said, if you're preloading yourself to fight off something bad, you probably don't even know you have it. And when it's going to rear its ugly head like Ketchikan did, is when somebody's sick enough or suspect enough that gets tested, and then you know for sure it's in your community. So I don't want people to panic by any means, but more than likely, it's probably already in our community. People are just have very mild symptoms. So take your precautions, wash your hands, keep that 6-foot distancing, and self-isolate.
Okay, I think we had a couple more calls here. Caller on line one, you have a question?
Yeah, I do. I had a question for Dr. Tusillo, I guess. I'm curious with the idea that down south they're talking about quarantining for 14 days in home. It sounds like what he's advocating there is that if you have a mask on then and you're self-isolating, it's fine for you to interact with other people.
I think if you are essential personnel, then that is your best bad choice. But I mean, the ideal choice is that you are not around people, especially people that could be susceptible, or in that second order effect, people that are going to be around people that are susceptible. So if you don't have coughing, sneezing, runny nose, aerosolizing body secretions, then, you know, for limited times, wearing a mask out in public but still maintaining that 6 feet or better is probably a good option, but it is not the best option. So I don't want to say that you're 100%, you're good to go. If you need to go out and do something, obviously you have to go out and do it. If you have to go to the store, if you have to go to the post office. But social isolation starts at 6 feet and with a mask, but that's not necessarily the ideal situation for anybody.
Okay.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for the call. Let's see, we have one more here. Caller on line three, you have a question or comment?
I am just wondering if they have figured out the period that you're actually infectious. I mean, when you can spread it. And also, if you think you've had it once, or if you've had it once, is it possible to get it again?
Who wants to tackle that?
So the short answer is no. We really don't know.
Okay.
So right now, the range we are dealing with is 2 to 15 days. The sweet spot is about 4 to 11 days, with 5 and 6 being like the peak after exposure. And there are some indications that I don't know if there are multiple strains already, but some people seem to have gotten the symptoms again. That being said, sometimes you just have a dip in your symptoms and you don't completely resolve the disease, and then it comes back symptomatically. That's a hard one to determine, especially if you're not testing everybody every time. So the answer to both of those things about do we know, the answer is no, we don't.
Okay. All right. And medical center people, how about flying the sickest patients to the resources? Are they out there in the bigger cities to get people who need the most serious help, medevac, out of Petersburg? Is that going to be a possibility?
I was on a phone call today with the state, and every day, every hospital within the state reports on their bed capacity. The medevac companies are all willing to bring patients to hospitals, especially here if we can't support your need. If you become medically unstable, we can medevac you to what we call higher echelon of care. You will go to an appropriate medical center. Right now, ANMC is reporting that they have plenty of beds open. Alaska Regional is the same way. So we won't have to take you out of state at this point in time.
Here in Petersburg, are there any discussions about different facilities other than Petersburg Medical Center for isolating patients?
Yeah, we have been talking about that at our incident command briefings quite a bit. We've reached out to, we have agreements in place actually already for exactly that scenario with the borough. and the school as far as overflow area. But the state is actually asking that as a strategic initiative to identify areas separate from the facility in the event of sort of the outbreak and overflow. And we were looking at, we've asked Ocean Beauty area, they said in an emergency situation they'd be willing to do, to make that facility available. And then we were looking at, we were talking with the Forest Service as well. We haven't received the confirmation at the high level yet, but there's some support in that area. So we have potentially some locations that we can identify in the event that that does happen.
Okay. All right. Any other updates from your end at this point while you're on still, Phil?
I don't think so. We are we're very proactive. I want to let everyone know that we take the things very seriously. We are being very aggressive on that. We know a surge capacity is limited in Petersburg, so that is definitely something we're trying to be as ahead of this as possible. So if our recommendations are a little bit more on the aggressive side, that's probably really to make sure that we're trying to do prevention. I like the one call-in comment about limiting travel. I mean, that's definitely something that we definitely as a community want to recognize and be aware of. If I can only speak for PMC, but as a community member, if you are flying in and you were in lower 48 or in an area that had a community outbreak, you should think about self-isolating for 14 days. It's definitely something, a responsibility in the community to do.
Okay. And those one quick follow-up question about that, those guidelines just came out for people who had just been traveling and went back to work or something. Does it make sense to then go back and do some more self-isolating to fall within that 14-day time if you've already been in and been around the people you normally interact with?
Yeah, that was one of the biggest topics this morning that we talked about, looking at retro and people who maybe came back in 3-4 days ago or 5 days ago. Or as in Dr. Tassil's case, a few days ago, those are the kinds of things that we're looking at right now, and they're evolving. And we've asked a few people to go home and just self-isolate in that prevention mindset. So I think we are more on the cautious side, even though that our human resource, our availability of healthcare workers is key. So we just it's just a little bit of a challenge trying to do that logistically. But we are going to go ahead and most likely do that.
Okay, great. Thanks a lot.
Yep.
Cover it as far as updates. Yep. From everyone else. All right. Well, we'll be back on tomorrow at 12:30 for our next show. Coming up next, Street Beat Music.